Trevor Sternad here, and you are listening to Into the Darkness.
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, dude. Just sitting around, man.
Waiting for something to happen.
Waiting for the record to come out and all the touring to follow, and just want to know what people think about this record, man. So I'm itching to get it out.
Yeah, I'm sure. The fun part of the job. So tomorrow, I mean, it's right here. It's right upon us.
Yeah, pretty excited. Now we have a little signing thing going on with Alan, myself, and Brian. We'll be in Berkeley signing copies of the album at the FYE. That'll be kind of cool. We'll see if anybody comes out to that.
Nice.
And I don't know, man. There's been so much press lately and so much going on, dude. It's pretty exciting for us.
Right. Well, I will have to say, I was pretty blown away by the record. I feel like you guys in general have done a great job at one-upping yourselves every time. And that's kind of a harder thing to do, and a lot of bands strive to do it. But I could say that I think you've definitely achieved that with this band, and that every record is kind of up to the notch, so to speak.
We try, man. You know, and really looking back at Ritual and Everblack, it was kind of intimidating, you know, because just so much more effort and elbow grease went into those two records than anything before it, you know. That, I mean, just the workload has definitely increased in the last while, you know, but I think the guys just get better, man. They just get better every 2 years, you know. 2 years is a long time in Black Dahlia world. You play a million shows and do a million things, see a million other bands, and, you know, just every 2 years when we come back to write, the guys surprise me, man. And this time, like, pretty much right from the onset, I knew that we had something special going, you know. Just the song sounded awesome, and they seemed to have, I don't know, they just seemed more urgent than anything we'd done, you know, and I was definitely feeling that.
That's awesome. That's important. That's that hunger and that drive, and that you tend to lose after being in a band for years and years, but you definitely hear it on this record. And I could see that it must have been a daunting task trying to follow up Everblack, being that, where do you go from Everblack? It's almost like a Spinal Tap, like, there's none more black. It's Everblack. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, and it was intimidating really on all fronts, you know, like from trying to match the cover art,
right,
to the songs, you know. So, and just everything worked out, man. Everything's working out great.
And I will say, go ahead.
You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to take it somewhere else, so go ahead.
I totally just brain farted anyway, so.
Sorry about that. If you remember, just chime in anytime. But I wanted to compliment you on the lineup. I mean, I've known Max, and that guy's an amazing bass player when he was with Despised, and to bring him into your camp, I'm sure has been a blessing. And Ryan Knight, of course, toured with him when he was in Arsis, and that guy's incredible. And now, obviously, you have Alan behind the kit, who's just, he's always surprised me. He's always just gotten better every time I've seen him and heard him. Just been very impressed with his progression through the years, and just seems like the perfect storm, the perfect culmination with this lineup that you have for the past couple records.
Yeah, I think so, man. You know, it's just like the personality of the band is right on right now. We have great guys that just love to be there, have a lot of enthusiasm for what they're doing, and, you know, getting those two new guys, I mean, we've had Knight for a long time now, but, right, you know, getting Max and Alan was like a shot in the arm that we needed, you know. It was bittersweet to say goodbye to Bart, our old bass player, and Shannon, our old drummer, you know, and we're still cool with those guys for sure, but, you know, by the end of their stay, they had kind of lost enthusiasm for the whole thing, you know, so
right,
having new people come in, having them, you know, fill that void, and, you know, they just did an awesome job, man. I think that the new record, you know, it speaks more of their contributions, you know. I think that they were able to put their stamp on this record more so than ever. And, you know, in Alan's defense, he came into the Everblack just pretty much right before we recorded, man. Like, the amount of work and stuff that he had to undertake to do that album was pretty goddamn impressive, you know. But this time, he had more time to work with things and kind of rewrite his parts and, you know, put his real personal stamp on things. And, you know, the same thing you're saying about Alan is, like, I do not know the limits of his talent, man, because, right, we don't we don't practice steadily anymore. You know, we don't practice all the time. So I don't get to like see him just kind of jamming or whatever, you know, like I would if we were like, you know, all here in Michigan or whatever, you know. And just there was a point when we called him up and asked him, hey, dude, how fast can you go? Because we didn't really know how fast he could go. And it seemed like there was still room, you know. And he said, oh, well, I can go this fast and blah, blah, blah. So that kind of led to doing more, you know, speedy passages and stuff in the record. And the song Asylum that's near the end is pretty cooking, too. You know, so it was cool to kind of have a new trick in the bag, you know, to pull out at this point for people, the listeners, you know. So definitely I welcome the fast hands of Alan Cassidy, definitely.
Yeah,
but awesome. You know, Matt, with Max, dude, I think it's more like just he's so gung-ho and like he's like the ultimate tour guy, dude. He's like a Terminator for tour.
Right.
And just on stage, man, he's just insane, headbanging his face off. And as soon as we got him, really, it was like a shot in the arm for like our stage presence. And I think the rest of us have been just trying to keep up, you know?
Right.
And we just have a good thing going up there, man. And, you know, like I love the guys in my band and, you know, we've had a lot of people through the band, but there's always been a friendship there. You know what I mean? That's important.
Right.
And, you know, so we just go and do our thing and celebrate what needs to be celebrated, you know, it's a blast, man. I mean, I don't know what to say, you know, and there's been a lot of people through the band and really it's just the workload of tour, man. I think, you know, you've been out there. It can be excruciating, dude, right. Just how boring it is.
For sure.
And people think, wow, it must be like Mardi Gras, you know, 24 hours a day party. It's like, yeah, the show is cool. Definitely.
Right.
And I love to play. I mean, that's like a high that you can't get anywhere else, really, but
it's only like 30 minutes to an hour of your time, right?
Right, the rest of the day is worst. I mean, you're traveling around to different towns and nobody wants you in their town. You look at a group of black clad weirdos with tattoos coming around, they're like, no,
right?
And you know, there's just endless hours traveling, early mornings, you know, being dirty scumbags. It's a lot like camping, it's like camping full time,
right? For like 70 days straight.
So people find out eventually that they don't want to camp full time, right. You know, and that's how they leave the band pretty much. That's pretty much anybody that's ever left the band. You know what I mean? It's just like they couldn't take it. And I understand, dude, it's a huge sacrifice. I mean, we don't have that much of a home life, I would say, you know, cause we're gone so damn much that it's definitely a major sacrifice in that regard.
Right.
And like I said, man, it's excruciatingly boring. And I mean, I don't have any security in what I do. You know, I mean, we can afford to keep touring and stay on tour. And that's pretty much it. You know, I don't have any money in the bank or I haven't, you know, I'm just getting by with this. But right. I mean, the riches in my life are you can't quantify. You know what I mean? Just having fans and having excitement for a piece of art that you made with your hands and, you know, getting to play with my peers like Cannibal Corpse or Carcass and, you know, getting compliments from those guys. And you know, that to me, that's just the coolest thing possible, you know,
for sure.
So like, I'm definitely still the same 13-year-old that just got so stoked on death metal. And now it's like my life and, you know, it's just the coolest thing I ever could have asked for, honestly, man. I feel like my dreams have come true a zillion times over, you know? Like, all I wanted was to be able to go out on tour and have one record come out on a real label, you know, that I could just show my parents and be like, look, guys, you know?
Right.
And it's just, God damn, it's gone so far beyond all that, man. I never saw the reach that this band would have or that it would appeal to so many people from so many different kind of walks in the underground scene. You know, I never saw the crossover or whatever until it really happened, you know? So it just was, I never could have seen this, man. And I'm just thankful, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a blessing, man, to kind of have the career you've had and how long it's been now. I mean, it's been quite a while. I mean, you're in double digits, I think. Right. And, I think people don't get it though. You know, I mean, you're out there signing autographs and, you know, I've been there, you know, you're on the road doing that thing and fucking sucks, man. People are like envious of you and you're out there and you're like, man, you don't understand. I live in this van back here. It fucking sucks. You know, so I think you hit the nail on the head with the touring part.
They think you're so cool and, you know, your life must be so awesome. But really, earlier that day, you shit your pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it's kind of been a blur, man, because I've just been on tour going so many places. And, you know, I'm that dude that never knows, like, where you're going to be the next day or anything like that. I just kind of go with the flow.
That's kind of nice, actually. That's kind of nice. Nice little surprises.
I used to, you know, count the days and really just be waiting to get back home. And it made it so excruciating. You know, you have to find out how to live comfortably out there and just kind of, you know, you have a routine that you do on the road, you know, and kind of make it into your own. I don't know. You just make it into a regular kind of circumstance, you know.
I used to think of it like being in wartime. Like you hear soldiers saying, like, you don't think about home. You don't think about family if you have kids and that stuff. Like you just worry about your day-to-day activity to kind of survive. And that's what I had to do when I was on tour. I would just kind of like block out. It didn't help anything back home actually doing that. But I would kind of block everything out, ignore everything, and just kind of do my day-to-day on the road to kind of maintain my sanity and, you know, do those things. So, yeah, I get that for sure. All right. So you've been busy, man. Besides the record, obviously you started this cool, awesome column with The Obiturist.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've been keeping up with, I think there's only been the two, right? The two blogs so far?
There's three, and a fourth one is in the pipes. It should be hitting any day now.
Okay, I might have missed one then. But the two that I saw were fantastic, and I'm looking forward to the rest for sure.
Oh, thanks, man. You know, I just get a kick out of trying to spread the gospel about, you know, new bands or bands that are kind of off people's radars, you know, because when I look at the metal press, I see a huge hole for just all the stuff that I like. I'm like, why aren't these bands being represented? You know, and a lot of the, a lot of it, I think, is label driven. You know what I mean?
For sure.
At that level, you just see a bunch of bands in a certain label and they have a good relationship with the online magazine or whatever it is. And that's just kind of how it works, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I've just been trying to, shed some light on all these bands that are, I think, are cool. And I mean, I'm just doing the work anyway. I'm already like hunting music every single day. And it's kind of like my obsession, my neurotic Rain Man kind of thing that I do. So, I mean, to kind of like turn around and do something positive with it and try to show people new bands and stuff, you know, I get a real joy out of that. And, you know, just the underground is freaking awesome. There's so much to explore and so many great albums coming out every day, and all they do, all they need is just to be heard. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's people waiting that love it, you know, but a lot, I don't know, a lot of people in the underground, I think, are just too lazy. They just kind of still take what's handed to them, you know, by the magazines or whatever. Don't have that hunger to kind of like get in there themselves, you know, but it's been the best thing I ever did, man. You know, like I still feel the same excitement for new music that I did when I was 13 and just kind of like diving into this whole world, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm exactly the same way as you. And now that I'm kind of out of the industry and not a touring musician, I'm doing a lot of projects, but I've kind of turned that obsession into label ventures. And while I want to shoot myself in the face sometimes for doing that, I've kind of taken that hobby of just finding the best underground bands, or, you know, friends that I have that are in bands that are amazing that no one knows about, and just trying to get them out there. And you're definitely right about the relationships with labels and how they have they almost have the press locked down in a way. But it's only because, I guess, there's only so much to go around, you know. I mean, even in the way of reviews, there's a million tons of shit out there, and you only have so many pages in the magazine, or you only have so many people writing for an online blog or whatever. But at the same time, I do feel like the bigger guys, like the Metal Sucks and Metal Injection, who do a great job, I feel like they're more concerned with the current physical state of Blackie Lawless than maybe the new Standard Elite release or something, you know? So it's almost turned into like an MTV parody sites versus reporting about awesome new music all the time, you know? So.
Right. You know, I think a lot of like the clickbaiting and stuff is just kind of necessary for them at that level. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think just trying to rope people into checking the site out and, you know, like So, I mean, I guess I understand on that level, but I mean, that's not what draws me to metal news. You know, I'm not trying to see like a 5-year old playing a baby metal song or something. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me either. Completely the opposite. Yes, I'm right with you. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about this Indie Merch tour? Did you guys have a big hand in choosing the bands?
Yeah, we were working with their A&R guy, Kareem, who was our longtime tour manager. And so, I mean, we know him very well. And, you know, he has great insight into the band as well. So the two of us were kind of hashing out the lineup over time. And, you know, we wanted to do something that was kind of had a good variety of sounds, you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. kind of like represented a few different walks of the underground.
Right.
You know, and I got to kind of pick bands that, I mean, I just wanted to see out on tour, basically, like Artificial Brain, who I think is awesome.
And, yeah, fantastic.
You know, just think need a little bit of a push in that regard, you know what I mean? Right. There's already a lot of people that like them, but I think that, you know, if they got a good tour or something, it could be big for them. And, you know, so that in a way that's just us extending our hand to, you know, cool bands and trying to help them out instead of just taking the most popular band in the scene or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So, I mean, we just get a kick out of that. We can't always do that. You know what I mean? But it's a give and take, you know, for every Suicide Silence tour, you know, we try to do a Carcass tour, you know, that's more of our speed, actually. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And it's just realizing what the fans of the band like and kind of trying to cater to each group of them. You know what I mean? And we've been called so many genres over the years that I think it's really just allowed us to have a bunch of different kinds of fans, man. So,
right.
You know, if we just did death metal tours, I think, you know, I don't know, we would have seen a glass ceiling on this thing a long time ago, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's a little politics sometimes, but yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, you want to play for different audiences, you want to kind of broaden your fan base and play for those Suicide Silence kids who might not have known about you, but also, like you said, those more true, maybe Carcass fans that dig your shit. So it makes complete sense. But that's awesome that you're giving back and taking some of the bands out that you're fans of and helping those guys out. That's huge. Okay. Okay, so I'm a drummer by trade, and I love to ask guys in bands, especially great bands like your band who had tons of great drummers, who your favorite drummers were to play with, and then your favorite drummers to watch. Because I know that, like, I think you had, like, Tony Loreno on a tour, and you had some of these other guys fill in at times in the past. So, I mean, you guys have had amazing drummers, not only, like, in the band, but as fill-in guys. So, can you maybe just briefly give me a few guys that you really enjoyed playing with, or in some of the guys that you just, like, love to watch, whether they be in other bands or your own band?
Man, I think that we got to mention Pierre Langlois.
Mm.
And he wasn't on any records of ours, but he was with us. He was the third drummer we played with. I mean, there was Corey on the first record, Zach on the second, and then after that, we had Pierre come on, and he did, like, Sounds of the Underground with us and a few other tours. And he was incredible, dude. He was left-handed, super, super tight. He was the first drummer we had that just was so in the pocket and so dead on. And, you know, he really just set the bar for what we would strive to achieve, you know, after that.
Nice.
And, like, losing him, man, was such a heartbreaker at the time, dude. We were like, oh no, what are we gonna do? You know, and but he, dude, it sucks, man. He had a master's in drumming. Like, he was so incredible and wow. So educated, and he just didn't like tour, man. He was the worst tour guy ever. He didn't have a cell phone. Okay, so, and he missed his girlfriend a lot. That's problem number one.
Exhibit A.
And then, he was French. He was French-Canadian. So I think that was kind of like, became like a breaking point after a while. You know, I think he just didn't have as much of a grasp on the English language as he wanted to. And he felt shy, and he kind of like strayed away from meeting other people on tour and hanging out on tour and the kind of stuff you need to do to, like, enjoy it, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So if, it didn't take him very long to figure out he didn't like touring, at least the way he was doing it, you know? So so he quit, and he seriously what's that fake grass they put on football fields?
Like
AstroTurf?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
that's what he does. He makes AstroTurf.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
So he was incredible, dude. And, you know, I really liked every drummer we played with, man. I could say something about each one. I mean, Corey had, like, just an awesome snare sound. I mean, the wear spot on his snare was, like, the size of a dime, and he just whacked the shit out of it, man. And I think even when you listen to Unhallowed, like, I just still hear the force that he would hit his snare with. You know, I thought it was a real, you know, it just defined his sound, I think.
Okay.
Know? And I know Zach is incredible, too, dude. I mean, Zach is one of those guys that just couldn't take that much touring, man. And I think right. that in any project that he went to try to do afterwards, he kind of was met with the same fate, you know?
Right.
Where he just eventually figured out, like, oh, I can't do this touring all the time and, you know, just didn't like it, man.
Right. We fall in the same hole with him, but I love that dude, and he plays ferocious.
And he's even better now, man. I see him playing all the time around here. He 20 bands up. Gut Rot, Shit Life,
yes.
Night Kid, man. Night Kid is awesome.
Nice.
Night Kid is sort of like BDM, I guess, you know.
Okay.
Sort of Swedish black metal meets melodic death. And they have the singer, or Gunface from Red Chord that plays guitar for Red Chord. He's been singing for Night Kid. And
oh, cool.
God damn, it's so good, dude. They have a record in the pipes right now. It should be fucking awesome.
Nice.
But, yeah, dude, Zach is just... you know, still a staple in the underground. He's gotten to do, you know, he got to tour around with Phobia before.
Oh, yeah, I remember
on
that.
Drums, and that's, like, his dream, you know. That's, like, his favorite band. Right. So, I mean, he's just stoked. He's just content to, like, just, you know, play in a million bands and play shows and, you know, just be in the underground and do it at that level. You
right.
know? And he's a happy soldier.
You yep, know? For sure.
And then we had Shannon, man, and Shannon basically saved us at one point. You know, we were writing Nocturnal, and we didn't have a drummer. And that was when we had to learn Pro Tools, which was a great thing, actually. But we had to learn Pro Tools so we could still make demos and, you know, move forward and
right.
make some music, you know. So it was a little painstaking at first to kind of get it down, but it definitely led to how we would write the albums to come. And, you know, the quality definitely was increased, I think, because of it. But yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, dude, at the time, we didn't know what to do. We had talked to Shannon on a couple different occasions, and he seemed semi-interested. But then he would kind of flake out or whatever. And eventually, we just, you know, we found out he was even living in Michigan just randomly.
Oh, wow.
Like, he just moved out there to, like, be with a girl or whatever, and we still couldn't get him to try out. And eventually, you know, he did, and he had us come to Guitar Center, and we saw him, he was playing an electronic kit in front of us while he was on the clock.
Oh, wow.
Like, and his friends, like, had to watch for the manager, like, to make sure they would come over or something like that. So, yeah, the first time he ever played in front of us was while he was on the clock working at Guitar Center. And, yeah, we were like, he played a Vulgar Picture, I remember. And I remember Brian and I just looking at each other kind of like during it and going, I think the band is still on. You know, like, I think we could be saved, man. And he just jumped right in. And, you know, we didn't even really know at the beginning there. Like, he was good, but we didn't know kind of machine that he was going to become eventually. You right. know, like, he just was like a human metronome, man, you know. And he definitely, I think, still has a reputation that Alan is, like, trying to, you know, that Alan is still faced with, you know what I mean? Where people are like, oh, we miss Shannon, blah, 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 you know?
Right.
You know, but and Alan is an incredible drummer, too, in his own right. He's just amazing. He can play any style of music, you know? He's very wise beyond his years. The kid's only 25, but, I mean, he's just... you know, he's just awesome, man. And yeah. I think that he's done, I don't know, man. I just love what he's done on the new record. I don't think any of our other drummers could have done what he did. You know, I think it's more colorful. I think it's more expressive, his drumming,
right,
than anyone we've had before, you know? So I think that really this record is just a pleasant surprise for all of us, man, because like we had no concept of what, you know, his limitations are. You know, he's just full of surprises for us. So that's definitely cool.
And that's the thing. I think that's still going to be the case. I feel like the ceiling isn't shut for him. You know, I've seen him exponentially grow over the past, it's probably been 7 years now, but I've seen him a few times in the middle when he was with a couple smaller bands in the Ohio area, and was blown away then, seeing the progression from when I had toured with him on, and then, you know, from that to this, and from what he did on this, one of my friend's records, was like, holy shit, I mean, where did this come from? He's constantly growing and kind of finding himself as a drummer and creating his own voice, which is huge. So, yeah, cheers to Alan. Okay, so Rituals, man, like, do you have any, so we'll split it up, touring and non-touring Rituals, like, do you have like a shitting schedule on tour or even not on tour? I remember always being on tour, like, the most important thing of the day was finding the best bathroom possible, you know, like, that was like the fucking golden egg of the day. Like, if you could find that Borders bathroom or like that amazing bathroom, that was like your day was going to be good.
Yeah, I'm on the same bowel schedule as Ryan, our guitar player. It's always the two of us are always on the shit hunt.
Dude, I had a partner as well. I think it always works that way.
You know, we just ate at the same time, and I guess it was just ready to come out at the same time, all the time.
It's like women on menopause or on their period or something.
It's like clockwork.
Right.
But Rituals, I mean, as far as touring goes, I guess the biggest ritual is weed. I mean, it definitely, you know, eases some of that excruciating boredom of tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just makes a lot of laughter and good times possible for you know, five guys in a van. So definitely a lot of weed smoking. As far as other rituals, I don't know. We have sipping time. I guess that's a good one.
Okay, what's that?
We call it sipping. It's when you drink. We all drink like a half an hour before the show.
Okay.
Because we're all too much of alcoholics, like, basically. Like, if we were to allow ourselves to just do whatever we wanted, we would be the sloppiest in the world. So, and we call it sipping time because it's ironic, because obviously we're chugging the hell out of it. Sipping time comes, like, it pretty much starts when the band before you starts their set.
Okay, there you go. Sipping nice
time. And you just go, hey, it's sipping time, guys, and everybody gets ready.
That's awesome. Is there any, like, are you a foodie? I mean, is there any, like, places, like, when you're touring the world, like, when you get there, you're like, fuck, I gotta have one of these, or, like, I've been craving this, you know, we're fucking in Germany, I'm gonna have this, or I'm fucking, you know, is there any stuff like that for you out there?
I mean, I like some kind of local staples, you know, like, I definitely want a cheesesteak if I'm in Philly, I want a, you know, Italian beef if I'm in Chicago.
Nice.
And, you know, I don't go too far out of my way questing, like, some guys out there, man. Like, Dave Davidson from Revocation, man, that dude is a foodie and a half, dude. He'll make it his mission to go to these places and stuff. You know? For me, if it's in, like, walking distance or if I can get there, you know, I'm into it.
Right.
You know, I'm mostly chasing burgers and Mexican. You know, that's my
– nice.
Those are my weaknesses.
Okay.
And I had one tour where I ate, like, 10,000 French dips. Like, every possible – point that you could have a French dip, I would have one. And we do kind of like get in those traps like that where we'll be in Canada and then everybody is like trying to eat as much poutine as they can just
right.
because it's funny.
Right.
Like, all right, I ate poutine three times, you know, for all three meals and, you know, I have 10 zits and I'm sweating my fucking ass off. You know, it's all for comedy's sake, I think.
Right. It helps the time pass. All right, so I have a couple games for us to kind of end on a fun note, I guess. Easy stuff, so no worries. So I have this little thing I put together. I'm going to call Finish the Phrase. So it's really popular pieces of, like, chorus, I guess some verses maybe in there too, of metal songs that we all know and love. And I'll say the beginning, and you kind of finish it.
Okay.
Want to try it?
Sure.
Okay, we'll start with what the podcast is named for. So when you hear Into the Darkness, what do you think?
Into the Darkness, I think, I don't know, man. It reminds me of the Therian record of Darkness, honestly. This is probably not what you had in mind, but...
No, but this is okay, because it's interesting to see what people pick out, you know? So, the correct answer would be Into the Grave. So anytime I hear Into the Darkness, like, my brain automatically goes, like, Into the Grave. I just think of graves, Into the Darkness, Into the Grave.
It's the shit, so.
It is amazing. Well played. Cool. This will be an easier one. Let Freedom Ring?
I think it's with the Shotgun Blast.
Perfect. That's it.
And, it's a Machine Head thing, but I've never really liked Machine Head, honestly.
Really? Not even from back in the day, the first record?
No, I think maybe if I would have had it then, I would have been into it, but I just kind of missed the boat.
Gotcha.
They're awesome live, and I've toured with them. They're cool guys and everything, but it's not my cup of tea, really.
Yeah, well, that first record, I think I got it the week it came out. You know, I was probably like 13 or, I mean, I was pretty young, but I just kind of grown up with it, so.
I definitely would have liked it, man. I mean, I had the first Korn record and stuff. I'm not saying I'm exempt. Liking some shit, you know, that's for sure. But
we all have them. All right, here's another one, a classic. 2 minutes.
Midnight.
Perfect.
Well, that was my first Maiden record, really. Nice. My aunt bought it for me because I got good grades one time. That was cool. It was a good one.
I actually have a similar story. I remember my grandmother, I think Cannibal Corpse the Bleeding had just come out, and I had just heard Tomb of the Mutilated, like, I don't know, probably a month or two before The Bleeding came out. So this was cassettes back then, too. And I had my grandmother buy me a Cannibal Corpse The Bleeding cassette from Camelot Music. And I can't imagine today what she was thinking when she bought that for me. But, I mean, she was looking at these songs like, what the hell am I doing? His parents are going to fucking kill me, I'm sure. But it's kind of funny. Okay, moving on. Okay, here's one. Someday you too will know my pain.
Well, it's Back Tooth Grin.
Yeah. Some nice Megadeth. That,
yeah, that's Megadeth was my first love in metal. That was my first metal record, pretty much.
Nice.
I mean, I'd heard the Black album briefly before that, and I liked that, but the day that I saw Symphony of Destruction on MTV, it was like the first day of sixth grade. Like, I got home from school, was watching, you know, I just flipped it on. It was like, that moment my life changed immensely. Right. That was pretty much it, dude. It was like, I just dove into metal and never to come up again, basically, at that point. And yeah, man, Megadeth, dude. I mean, it's hard to be a Megadeth fan, you know? It's like he tortures you, you know?
Yeah, right. That's good. It's true, though. That's very true. All right, how about this? You will do what I say when I say.
It's Metallica. It's Disposable Heroes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Back to the front.
Yeah, that's it. That's the line. Back to the front. There you go. Okay. I'll steal your Pop-Tarts like I stole your...
Fuck. I don't know, dude. Is this S.O.D.?
Oh, close. It's it's Anthrax. It's I'm the Man.
Anthrax. Word.
That was like the man. That was like the first cassette I've ever owned, I think, was that I'm the Man single, I think.
Okay. It's one of the things that led me to down the road of metal was Attack of the Killer Bees. Somehow I convinced my dad to get that from, like, Columbia House, the catalog or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I listened to it a few times, and then he like, took it away. It was a little too... I don't know, too much swearing or something, I guess, at that time. But, yeah, that definitely led me to wanting more heavy guitars and shit like that, you know?
For sure. And, dude, I wonder how many people scammed those Columbia House and BMG mail orders back then. Because it was, like, one of those things, like, you bought one CD for, like, $1, and then you got, like, 20. But me and my friends figured out, you know, we weren't 18, so we weren't legally bound to anything. And we were just, like, filling shit out. And we were never, like... Because then, like, you were, like, then once you signed this thing, you were in this contract for a year and had to buy so many. But so many of us just did this a couple times with Columbia House and BMG and just got like half of our, you know, beginning of our CD collections from them just based on they were letting minors like sign these contracts and send them $2 in the mail or whatever. So
at least I wish I would have been on point with that, man. I could have started out stronger.
Yeah, I got a lot of shit.
I remember like just combing like the descriptions and stuff. And I remember my dad got me a helmet meantime out of Columbia House back in the day, and that was cool.
Nice. This one may be a little harder because there's so many songs that people know from them, but I'll try. I'm a total disgrace. Let me inside your place. Move over for a...
I got nothing, dude.
It's Motorhead, but it's a kind of a weird one. It's Damage Case.
Word, okay.
It's one of my favorites. I think Metallica covers it all the time. three more. These two you'll get with no problem. Born of the Demon Sky, Twisting Reality, Sweet Nauseating Pain.
It's At the Gates.
Yes. Can you finish the line?
Is death the only release?
That's it. Perfect. I knew you'd know that one. And then finally, Awaiting the Hour of Reprisal.
Waiting the Hour of Reprisal. Your time slips away.
Nice, in character and everything. That was perfect. All right. Okay, second game. This will be much easier, but we're kind of going to kind of push through this quick because I kind of just want to get your honest answer and the first time, I guess. You know, I don't want you have to think about it too long. So this is just like your favorite album game. I'm going to name a band. You throw out your favorite album, and if you want to elaborate a little, that's cool, but... I just want to kind of like get the answer out of you quick so you don't have too much time to think about it.
Okay, sure.
Okay, we'll start with the big ones. Metallica.
And Justice for All.
Megadeth.
Rest in Peace.
Slayer.
It's South of Heaven, I'm Slayer.
Anthrax.
Among the Living.
Sepultura.
Beneath the Remains.
Testament.
Low.
Exodus.
Bonded by Blood.
Death.
Symbolic.
Morbid Angel.
Blessed are the Sick.
Obituary.
Cause of Death.
Napalm Death.
Mentally Murdered.
Nice. A Cannibal Corpse.
The Bleeding.
Awesome. That's my game. Cool, man.
The Bleeding is the jam, and actually, my grandparents bought me The Bleeding as well.
Are you serious? Is that a thing?
Yeah. I don't know. Mine didn't look at it. I had no idea. The contraband level, you know what I mean? Like, at the time, like, if my parents or any of them would have gotten wind of it, it would have been snatched up immediately. But, yeah, Grandpa got me some magic cards and The Bleeding one day. It was a banner goddamn day.
That's fucking awesome. All right, man. Well, that's all I got. I mean, unless there's anything else that you want to say or mention while you're on here. But I appreciate your time, of course. I wish you luck with the new record and the tour cycle and all the madness that ensues. And stay safe out there. And, you know, hopefully I'll catch you guys on tour and say hello.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me aboard. It was fun.
Thank you again, man. We'll hopefully talk soon. And like I said, be safe. Good luck. And enjoy those sipping times.
Cool, man. Peace out.
All right, cheers.